All right, well, if we can bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blessing of worship, the encouragement of the word that was spoken through many individuals today, Lord. We just thank you for moving, for the Spirit being ever so present, for people coming prepared with hearts crying out to you, Lord. And that we just ask for a continuation now, Lord, through the scriptures. Through these last four verses, Lord, as the end of the chapter is near, Lord, we think of just being tired, but yet we must press on. So, Lord, as we read these scriptures, these last four verses, I just ask for an opening of hearts, an understanding, a wisdom, knowledge, and just a prayer life that continues to grow through these words, Father. So we ask this in your name. Amen. So I'll try to go really fast. There's a lot. You think Tom says go to one verse. And as I was typing up my notes, I got a page onto two pages, and I had to cut it back. So we'll try to cut this short so Tom really can finish today. Otherwise, he's not staying true to his word. So if you can, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll just read the last four verses and then jump into the scripture. So brothers or brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So as I said, again, it's the end. It's the finishing of the book. This is Paul coming back and kind of the P.S., I guess, when you used to write letters to one another, right? You write this whole lengthy letter, and then at the end you put P.S., I love you, which is what you said in the whole letter. So just go straight to the P.S. That's what he's doing here, right? The P.S., don't forget it. Focus on it. And that's what he's doing. So let's just look. I'm only going to talk about verse 25. And this is more because when you think about it, this is praying for our pastors. So Tom obviously requests prayer all the time, and he has prayer needs. He's not anything special. He's just like one of us, but he has a need. So my hope is that we'll look at four areas that we can pray for our pastor, and then we'll actually do it too. So brethren, pray for us. So when you look at that brethren, that means that he's showing affection, and it's showing that he's talking to the Christians of the church. So if you look back in verse 4, in chapter 1, though, verse 4 in chapter 1, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, right? So he already knows he's talking to the brethren, the brothers. And there's a compassion there because we have like-minded people within the body that he's talking to. So when you look at this, there's three requests, and then there's a benediction. So the first one was, brothers, pray for us. And then it's greet the brothers with a holy kiss, read the letters to all the brothers, and then the benediction is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. So when you look at verse 2 as well, what they're requesting is the pastors are requesting us to pray for them. But you can see in verse 2 that they've always been praying for us. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. So again, this was the three of them, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And remember that they're constantly praying. And I think that's Tom's heart. Whether you think he is or not, he prays for each one of you. Obviously, when you have a specific request, he's on his knees. That's why he loves us, because he's always praying for us. And so constantly, right? So the request from Paul at the end here is, brethren, pray for us, is they have a heavy burden on them. They have a lot that falls on them for the body, and we're a tough people. We're not easy to work with sometimes. We can be, but we're not always. And then if you look in verse 12 of the same chapter, when the request, what we need to have for our pastors, why should we pray? And off of what basis? So we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. So it's clear that we need to appreciate our pastors, and we need to love them. That's the very basis of why we should pray for them. But if you don't love them and you don't appreciate them, you're not going to pray for them. So we need to make sure that that's the foundation that we stand on, and that we love our pastor, and that we appreciate him and what his family has done for us. Then we're going to look at four specific areas that we can pray for them. The four are pray for their safety, The second is pray for wisdom. Third is pray for direction. And then four, pray for effectiveness. So looking at safety, let's go to Romans 15:30. And we're actually going to read these line up with verses 30 through 33. So let's just read those again. Romans 15, 30 through 33. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So praying for their safety. Obviously, you can see what he's asking. This is Paul again, that he may be delivered from the unbelievers. When you think about it, you think we're in Minneota, Minnesota, right? What kind of safety does Tom need? There's a lot of things that can happen. We had a deacon's meeting on Tuesday, and Tom had a request of prayer because he had an opportunity that somebody in the community asked him to go with them and pray for a family member that they thought was demon-possessed. And so Tom took the opportunity to say, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not going to say I'm going to pray for them specifically until I know the situation, which some people would just take advantage of it and say, yep, I'm going to pray, but that can actually do harm to that person. So he had two intentions in this. He was going to speak to somebody in the community and hopefully witness to them, but then also go along with them and come alongside them and pray for that other person. And so if she or he was truly possessed, Tom needs protection. And that's here, right? I remember when we went to Colorado one time, we were driving, we stopped in York, Nebraska, and we pulled into it was a motel, and so we were outside, and the weather looked kind of grim, and we checked in, got to the room, and all of a sudden the sirens went off. And we didn't know what to do. It's a motel, so there's no basement, you go to your room from the outside. So we called the front desk and said, hey, what's your tornado warning initiative? Where are we supposed to go? Do we all meet somewhere? And the lady was just frantic on the phone. She said, I don't know. We never have tornadoes in York, Nebraska. She didn't know. She said, well, are we supposed to go somewhere? I don't know. So we were on our own. But sometimes in Minneota, right, you can have the same attitude. It's kind of you go with the flow and we're all safe here. But we're not. There's a lot of things that are happening in our community. We know from this very church what drugs can do. We have a heart that's broken for people that have had that, but we've seen people be victorious over things like that. So we need to pray for that. We need to pray for Tom's safety. Again, if you look at Paul going to Jerusalem, obviously he was scared that he was going to lose his life. I don't think Tom's scared of losing his life. I hope not. But you never know. With the culture that we live in, things can change so fast that our pastors are always on a pedestal to be taken down. And, just praying for Tom and his safety, both from praying for his heart to be safe and that unbelievers wouldn't come in and attack him and take him down. That's not what we want. So praying for wisdom, again, that goes into the next step here. My service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So it's hard to be a leader. There's a lot of things you have to deal with. And I think specifically here, looking at what he can do, what Paul can do for these people. So there's leadership abilities. There's people that he's going to be dealing with. The Gentiles and the Jews trying to bring them together. So there's conflict. There's strong wills of people that he has to deal with. So there's things that, opinions that happen. There's accusations that come about. And so we need to pray for wisdom for Tom to know what to do when and to always have knowing that he's going back in prayer. He's not just coming off and answering on what his will is. It's on what the Lord's will is. And that we don't have in the church as much anymore. Not specifically here, but in church in America, there's always people wanting their own agenda and then they'll go to the Lord. Tom doesn't do that. And that's one thing I really appreciate about him. And we need to lift him up for that. The next thing, pray for direction. So that God's will, again, verse 32, so that God's will, I may come to you with joy. It's God's will. So what does that direction look like? What are the plans that God has for this church? Tom's constantly stewing on it. He's meeting with the youth, the three young men. He's meeting with a group of older men. He's trying to press on and pass on what the Lord has gifted in him to continue to have a blessed church right here in Mineota. And it's a burden. It's a lot of work for him, a lot of commitment, a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of time away from Elana. So they both sacrifice. But his heart is for a direction that is God-giving, that God would be honored and that God would be served. So then the fourth one, effectiveness. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:19. Well, we'll go with 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So remember, Paul's in prison when he says this, right? So Tom might feel as he's in prison sometimes with us, but he's not. But that's Paul's heart, right? That the word would be effective, that it would be given to Tom, and that's what he wants. He wants effective word to be preached out, and I think we've had a blessing of having that. Sometimes maybe we take it for granted, but that's what the church needs, is it effectiveness. And how does this happen? It's through our prayers. So Tom can be on his knees before the Lord and prepare his scriptures and do whatever he wants. But if the body of believers is not praying for him, things will not happen. We need to pray for a clear mind. We need to pray for health. We need to pray for safety for Tom. Because then when he goes into scripture, he goes deeper into scripture. And there'll be a realization that he has because of what the body is doing. So sometimes it's easy to say, well, I pray for him all the time. That's great, but maybe send a text or send an email or give a call to tell him what you're specifically praying for. Or to see what's on his heart that he needs to be prayed for. It's an opportunity that we have and that we should not take lightly. We're going to close with Hebrews 13:18 then. And this is one of the things I appreciate most about Tom. So let's read it. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring no act honorably in all things. I urge you the most earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. So Tom knows he's not perfect, and he doesn't act perfect. But what he does do is resemble faithfulness. And that's exactly what they're asking for. When Tom can have a clear conscience to say, I've given it all to the Lord, and I've done what I can, that's faithfulness. He's not preaching how to be perfect or that he's perfect, but he's preaching on how to be faithful and committed and living out what he preaches. So thank you, Tom, for doing that. We appreciate it. So now let's take the opportunity to live this out. We had four things: safety, wisdom, direction, and effectiveness. I'm going to ask Tom to come forward, and then if people would come around, and let's pray for those four things for him. Let's lift up our pastor for what he needs and for the continued privilege of listening to him. So come on up, Tom. And whoever else wants to come up and pray, please come forward.